Jigga Man. MC.
That's right.
Swiss Beats. Come on.
It's the things that you do that make me feel so.
Inhale, exhale, breathe on it for me.
But I don't know the way I feel, I can't explain.
Right.
I love you, love you, but you make it close to the things that you do that make me feel so.
Exhale, breathe on it for me.
But I don't know the way I feel, I can't explain.
Come on.
I love you,
come on.
Come on.
You know the flow, sicker, no jigger, mode, sicker now, right? You know what me and Swiss shit sounds like, crazed and demonic. Without blazing chronic, product of Reaganomics. You know that motherfucking Stu raised me, screaming the hoost when I was too lazy. School made me sick, teachers.
Hello. This. I'm not going to say this is why I shouldn't take time off. I'm not going to say that because the time was important. I needed the time. I just sat here and recorded for like 20 minutes without pressing record. So, hello, guys. I'm so happy to be back. Welcome back. If you are back, if you are listening, if you are still rocking with me, I know that I tell y'all I love y'all 100 times on every episode, but I really, really, really do. I am so, so grateful that you decided to come back to listen to this show again, even after me taking all of this time off. Thank you so much for your support, for your understanding, for all of your kind words and messages, encouragement, your virtual hugs. I appreciate you guys so much. You are everything to me. You are the driving force behind this podcast. There is no podcast without you. So, hats off to each and every person listening to this show, whether you are in the United States, honey, or, you know, I don't know. Got my first listener in Africa. That was pretty cool. Thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing this little message with your friends and resharing and posting and all those things and getting the word out. I think you are fucking dope. And if nobody has told you today or ever, just know that you are so special to me. I'll get to a little bit more behind my hiatus a little bit later, but I'm not alone today, you guys. So I do want to play a little bit more music, but let me go ahead and introduce my guest. My guest is one of the most special people, one of the most important people in my life. She happens to be my cousin. So we share DNA, which makes her automatically amazing. I mean,
right?
I'm older, so there's that. My grandfather was like, I'm not good with just my perfect grandchild. I need another one.
Another granddaughter.
And then she came a couple years later. So yeah, even though our parents are siblings, we are definitely more like sisters than we are cousins. She decided that she was going to come see me for her birthday and spend the weekend in Atlanta. And I was like, well, I need to record. So hey, you might as well come do that with me too. But no, not for nothing. Like, our conversations are amazing on the phone. We have very, very good conversations. And I thought that it would be something that you guys would maybe like to hear. So here we are. Welcome to the show, Noelle.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Just move. So our, I guess, 20 minutes of chatting turned into just a warm up. So hopefully she's comfortable. This can be a little nerve wracking, but we got some wine. We're okay. Let's go ahead and play a little bit more music before we get to it. Hope you guys have been well. Hope everything has been good in your world and that episode 16 of Tay's Tidbits finds you in good spirits. If not, just know that it's okay to not be okay.
Haunt me, even when you're
Take two. Tell the people a little bit about yourself, cousin.
I am a educator and an adjunct professor. I am working on my first novel. Mother of two. Recently out of a long-term relationship and in therapy for the first time.
So before we press record, we were having a great conversation about what it looks like before going to therapy. Someone who maybe has thoughts about therapy, right, has thought about therapy, heard about therapy, but still afraid to take the first step for whatever reason. So I think that... I'm actually sure that there are people who listen to this podcast and hear me talk about therapy a lot and may have considered it, but still maybe on the fence for whatever reason. So I would love for you to speak to your experience prior to actually starting therapy.
So I was always a fan of therapy, just never in it. And leading up to my breakup, it just felt like too much was coming. You know, I was afraid of how my kids would take the breakup. I was afraid of the actual breakup. I was afraid of being single again. Afraid of how I was going to handle my bills. Like, there was just calling the therapist or reaching out to the therapist was a lifeline. It was like, there's too much coming. I need help dealing with this. I'm about to make a big change.
Yeah. And what we were talking a little bit about, what kept you before, you know, this catastrophic thing happened, what kept you from kind of taking that step?
Right. And so it was, for me, it was fear of judgment, which I'm getting better at, because I have fear of judgment even amongst friends and have always been met with so much acceptance and support that it feels like, why was I afraid to say that or tell that person that? But then...
Well, what... Because that's interesting to me. So what is it about being judged that makes you uncomfortable?
Girl.
Was that deep?
It wasn't deep. It's just, it's me. Because I have this very deep need to be liked and accepted. And so shame or feeling like, you know, something I do or say could make somebody not, you know, like me anymore or be disappointed in me. Because, like, the friends that I have and the people that I have in my life, I want to make them proud all the time. Right. And so if I do something that I feel like, oh, you know, Shante kind of be disappointed in me if she knew I did that, you know, and it's not even something that Shante would be disappointed in me about. It's Tahima lying to herself. Right. And so add to that a stranger. And it's like, man. Like, it took me a couple sessions to even tell my therapist the whole truth, you know?
Yeah. I found comfort in this person not knowing me. Like, for me, it was comforting that she had absolutely, that she did not know me on a personal level, because it was clear pretty early on that her thoughts were objective. So for me, it didn't translate as judgment because I knew that she didn't really have anything to pull from. It was just what I had told her and the back and forth that we had. So if she were to judge me, then that would be from her own personal experience, not from, because she didn't know me. And I think for a lot of people, they find comfort in therapy because they realize, oh, this person is not biased.
Right. So as you're talking, I'm realizing what it is more for me is I hate to be misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And so that adds a level to when you're talking to somebody who doesn't know you. I spend a lot of time going, okay, backtrack. I got to give you backstory. You got to understand where this is coming from and why I, you know, why I'm here or why I reacted to this person this way, given our history. Like, you have to understand me because I don't want to be, again, I guess it is back to judgment. Like, I don't want you to think I'm flying off the handle or my reactions are wrong. So I've got to give you
context. I have found that judgment or a fear of judgment is more about the individual than it is the judge.
Absolutely.
Because people will always and forever see things through their own experience, their own filters, their own lenses. So if I am judging you, more than likely, it's because I am judgmental, not because you are wrong. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Some people judge everything, no mm-hmm. matter what it is. If you say something, they're going to have something to say. Well, why didn't you wear black? Well, why did you? Because that's who they are. So when we put ourselves in positions of being afraid of what other people think, then we almost take that factor out. The factor that of people are just who they are. And some people will always have judgments and other people will always lie. And that's another scary part about the fear of being judged, because there are people who will think something but not say it to you. And you'll be comfortable because you think this person's not judging me, but inside their head they may be. But because they're diplomatic, or right. they're one of those go along to get along type of people, or they were taught to never, you know, ruffle feathers, they just agree and they nod and they say yes. and we feel good in those moments. Well, not me, because I can see straight through that and know that person's full of shit. But I just think that there's more to that fear of judgment. I think that's why therapy is so great, because we get to build relationships with our therapists mm-hmm. and we have them as our support system, but we learn very early on, like, this person didn't come with any preconceived notions. She doesn't have any, or he doesn't have any biases. Like, right. they are literally just here to help me.
Right. Right. 100% on my side. 100% on my side.
Like an ally.
Like, even things I've had moments in the 4 short months I've been with my therapist where I didn't tell her the whole truth because I was ashamed. It had nothing to do with, I was ashamed. So I didn't tell her. And then when I told her, she was like, I need you to be kinder to yourself. Like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody has bad moments. Everybody goes off. Like, it doesn't mean you're, you know, turning into this person that you don't want to be. Like, it's okay.
Right.
And so that, the things that I needed therapy for were the things that were keeping me out of therapy.
Mm, that's powerful, because I am certain that you're not the only one with that story.
Yeah.
At all. There's so many things that people can identify as not being right or not even feeling good, but that they're so used to walking around with that it's just like, maybe I could do this differently, but maybe this is just the way life is.
Right.
So that fear of, you know, coming into the presence of this, like, dictator who's going to be like, you did this. I remember one time I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast. I probably have, but I remember one time because and even to this day, I still have moments where I feel in my mind like I am the only person to have ever experienced what I'm going through. I am a fucking alien and no one understands me. And she said to me, I have been doing this longer than you've been alive. Number one, she said, I have studied psychology from front to back. She was like, there are only 11 different persons there. You are a human being, which means that your components, you are built like other human beings. You have a brain like other human beings. There is nothing that you can say to me that I have not heard.
Mm.
And it gave me so much pause in that moment because up until then, I really felt like I was so isolated in my thought process. Right. I was so isolated in my anxiety. I was so isolated in my depression that there was nothing that I could have, like, I just felt like it doesn't even make sense to say this to her because this is going to sound so crazy. And she looked me dead in my eyes and she said, there is nothing. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. She said, I have worked with pedophiles. I have worked with, there's nothing you can say to me that I have not heard. She was like, for as weird as you think you are so normal. And she, from then on, she would affirm me in that.
Right.
Every time I would say, I guess she would see a look on my face and she'd be like, that's normal. And it helped me so much because I didn't feel like it was normal. I'm like, this is asinine. She'd be like, that sounds about right. That's normal. That's on track. That's right. And I would be like, and it was one of those things that I needed to reaffirm for me why I was going to therapy and why therapy worked and that I was in great company and that I was more like people than I was different and ostracized. And you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it even though it wasn't a group, it gave me this sense of belonging. Like, oh, you mean there are other people like me?
Right.
Like, other people think like this. Other people go through this. Not only do other people go through this, other people have made it through this. So it gave me like some hope, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Even in the midst of things that I never could figure out how they were going to work out, I'm like, oh, well, if other people work through this, even though this is something I've been thinking about, dealing with, suffering with for all of these years, maybe I can too.
Right.
So I want to encourage the listeners to, if they are in that place of being afraid, to take that step. But it's one of those things that you don't know that it's right until you do it. And then you're like, now I see why people do this.
Right.
Now I understand why people do this. Because not only are you just talking to someone who is licensed to have conversations like that with you, they give you tools. So when they tell you, you should start journaling, you should meditate, you should go for walks, you should, you know, take bubble baths and you should take care of yourself. And you start doing, you're like, oh, this is why she talks about gratitude all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, you know, she or he, I'm sorry, I say she because I'm speaking to my experience. Most of my therapists were women. This is why she just keeps harping on these things over and over and over again. And you start to learn that you walk away from these sessions with like a little toolbox.
Right.
And you're able to like pull those things out when you need a wrench, when you need a screwdriver, when you need and apply them in right. your life. And so it's not just about, because people are like, what do I need to sit and talk to somebody for? I can talk to my homeboy. I can talk to my homegirl. I can talk to my right. grandmother. And then you, as you're in it and you go through, you realize it's not just about talking. Like there's so many other things that can be offered in therapy.
Right.
The talking is important. But for me, the tools have also been important. Have you found that to be?
Yeah. As you were talking, the thing that I keep thinking about is the amazement that I've had where I went for one specific thing, right? I went because I spent 7 years with somebody and it's falling apart. Help me, right? And in 4 months, when I tell you like how many different relationships in my life have changed and been rekindled, like my father was not in my life from the age of 8. I talk to my father every week now since Father's Day. And that's because of therapy. Mm-hmm. And talking about, because I think my biggest fear that I wasn't able to admit, and the first time I said this out loud, I cried for like 20 minutes of my session, was that I struggled to believe that I deserve everything I want. That's my biggest thing I have to get past. And she'll still ask me, like she asked me in my last session and made me cry again. She's like, do you believe you deserve what you want? And now Tahima's crying again. Like, I'm working on it. But what one thing I wanted was a good relationship with my father and was afraid to go and get it. And somehow through working with her, through talking to her and her telling me, it's okay. Just do this part. Mm-hmm. Just do this step. Before I see you next time, Send him one text message.
Right.
Call him. Mm-hmm. If that's what you want, tell him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anybody out there feels this way, but I struggle so much telling people what I want. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because the boundaries. Fear is...
boundaries.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely want to move into boundaries, but I want to stay here for a minute because mm-hmm. I feel like the premise of this podcast is and will forever be for people to know that they are not alone. Because I felt that. And I sat in those moments for so many years, again, in my marriage, is it fair to ask for this? Should I just be happy with that? Should I just accept that this is enough? And maybe this is it. Maybe there's nothing more. Maybe I'll never have. So I want my listeners to know that they're never alone. You're never alone. No matter what it is, you're not by yourself. And that if there's anything that I've gone through, I want to share it with them. Because mm-hmm. I know that in those moments where I sat and felt like I was insane, that somebody else might be sitting and feel with those same emotions and those same thoughts. Like, nobody wants to hear about this shit. This is crazy. Nobody's ever. So I want to stay there with talking about how important it is to not only, because if I were to interview 90% of the people who've gone to therapy, they would probably have the same story. This is what brought me to therapy. This is what I got out of it. Mm-hmm. Because for me, it was the same thing. Like, I healed my relationship with my father and it gave me the courage to walk away from my marriage. Mm-hmm. To get rid of friends that weren't good for me, to just stand up for myself in a way that I never, and it was because of that one relationship. I'm not a psychotherapist, I'm not a psychologist, so I can't really connect the dots when it comes to that.
Right.
But I do know that my story is similar to yours in that going to therapy changed my entire life, even though I thought it was about it was completely vain for me. It started out as just like I knew that there were issues from my childhood. I knew that, but it was just like, I just want to be, you know, this. I just want to think about my body in a certain type of way. I never thought about any of those other things, but all of those other things started to, and I would be like, why is she not asking me about, I told her, well, this is what we're going to talk about today.
Right.
She's not talking to me about my weight. She's not talking to me what I ate. She's not talking to me about exercise. You asking me all of these other questions, but in asking all of those other questions, it brought up, because that was just a symptom of so many other underlying things. And because they're licensed, because they're professional, they can get right to the root, because it's the root that we want to pull out. Not all of that surface shit that comes as a result of what's really wrong.
Right.
And she did the same thing. She'd just be asking questions, pulling those things out. I remember I had a session, this was recently, and I was thinking, I am not going to talk about this. It was bothering me, but I'm like, I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to talk about it. And she was like, she just kept, it was like we were dancing and we were going back and forth, and she's asking and I'm evading, and she's asking and I'm deflecting, and and then she hit the nail right on the fucking head. And I'm like, damn it. Because the good thing is I've been with her long enough that she can tell.
Right.
That's another thing about building a relationship. And we're on Zoom. And she's right. Looking. She's like, that's not it. So finally, she got it. And it was like, a part of me was like disappointed, but I knew. I knew that it had to be discussed. And it was one of those things that I was kind of holding in my back pocket because I'm probably different from you in that I really don't give a fuck. Like, I'm just an open book. I'm just like, listen, if you're going to judge me, judge me. It is what the fuck it is. You can't judge me harder than I judge myself. That's how I live, because I'm so hard on myself that anybody else saying something to me, it usually doesn't match up. Honestly, like, you would have to be like, you stupid motherfucker. Like, you would have to be really, really, really harsh in order to match what usually goes on in my head. I'm getting better. Amen. So, I would just, because I was so desperate to be helped, that I would just, but it was that one thing. I'm like, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. And you talk about fear. There was a fear of, if I, like, start, I don't know that I'll be able to stop. Like, if I start crying, or if I start, like, if I tap into this pain for real, I don't know that I'll be able to contain it.
Right.
And because as a little girl, I was always told, oh, stop crying. Oh, stop laughing. Oh, jump higher. Oh, stop jumping. Oh, sit down. Oh, stand up. Oh, like, it was. So I always try to, like, again, I'm different now, but there was a time where I would try to, like, match the temperature of the room as not to offend or upset anybody.
Right.
Like, come in and just be what was, if everybody was quiet, I'm quiet. If everybody's not, you know, now I understand that I'm the thermostat and not. So I come in the room to control the temperature. I am.
Amen.
But I had to learn that. So I was just like, I don't know. I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know that I'll be able to, like, actually, like, bring myself back and continue the session. Like, I might just. So I was not ready until she brought me there, and it came out, and it was fine. It was completely fine. And that's why I said in the beginning, I hope it was after we pressed record, but I did say how important it is to find the right therapist.
Yes.
And if you do not feel like this person is a good match, not that, oh, this person is challenging me and I don't like this, because it is going to be a challenging process.
Right.
And if it feels too easy, then it's not going to. It's going to feel like, not that, but that you have, like, a connection and a vibe with the person. I don't know how to explain it, but you can feel it, right?
Yes. Because it was before we hit record. We talked about how I felt like I hit the jackpot with my therapist right out the gate, just because, you know, her vibe matches my vibe. And it's not always, you know, crying and woe is me. There are times we're laughing together about my successes or just the crazy stuff I do, because I know I do wild stuff. And so it's like, okay, let me tell Nicole what I've been up to this week. But it does, like, I wouldn't want another therapist.
No.
I wouldn't want another therapist. And if I didn't have that, if I wasn't able to, you know, be myself with this person, after 4 months, I think I would be looking for a new therapist.
Yeah. I definitely think four months is a good enough time frame to get, because I think you should give it a good 2 to 3 sessions before you even try to make an assessment. But I think after 4 months, shout out to BB. We call my therapist BB, even though she's Dr. blah, 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 blah. But that's what she goes by. So, yes, I think that it takes some time to build, depending on the person. Some people are very eager and very open. And I feel like the more open you are, the more transparent you are, the easier it is
right.
to build that trust and to build that rapport. But again, you're dealing with professionals. So they're probably accustomed to dealing with all kinds of people. People right. who are a little bit more reserved, people who are a little bit more open.
Again, it was definitely me. Like, I'm not going to show her all of me just yet. Let me tiptoe around these parts. And there was even one part, there was one session where I said, well, you know, she's helping me deal with a person. And I was like, well, I'm not telling you the whole story about this person. And she was like, all right, we'll get to that next week then. Like, she knew, like, if I'm not saying it, it's because I'm not ready, you know? And so it was this nice, you know, she's like, I am going to ask you though next week, but I'm going to let you live, you know, I'm going to let you breathe this week with it. And that built a lot of trust for me. It's like, she's not going to force me to share anything I don't want to share. Mm-hmm. And so there was a time, there was something that I did that I was ashamed of, that I took like 3 weeks before I told her, okay, 3 weeks ago I did XYZ. And immediately was like, okay, I need you to be nicer to yourself. Everybody has bad days. It's okay. You know?
Because is it Iyanla who says, the secrets keep us sick? Sometimes like we hold on to stuff because we're ashamed or we feel like it's quote bad. Mm-hmm. But then the moment we release it, it takes all of the weight off of it. And it's like, even if this person retorts with a judgment, I feel better because I took all of the pressure off by just allowing it to come out. And then I try to sit and ask myself, what's the worst that can happen? If this person does judge me, is that going to change my life? Is that going to change who I am? Like, what is going to happen if this person does judge me? Like, I'm asking you,
understand. You feel like it's going to be the end of the world, and especially somebody like me with attachment issues. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My fear always goes to, this person will be out of my life.
Okay, so your fear of judgment is rooted in abandonment.
Mm.
Then that's fair, because it's a trigger.
Yeah.
It's not about, this person has an opinion about my life.
Yeah, no.
It's about, damn, are they going to take this information and then leave?
Yes.
You know? Because that's what triggers do. They tell us to look at the worst case scenario.
Right.
They're going to think that you're horrible, and then they're never going to talk to you again.
Ouch.
No, I'm telling you.
No, I'm telling you, just the thought. Yes. Just the thought. Yes. It hurts. Uh-huh. It physically hurts.
If you have anxiety like me, then that's where your mind goes.
Right.
Your mind doesn't go to, okay, well, this person is going to judge your morality. Right. Okay. And think I'm a horrible person. Oh, no, this person is going to take this information and thereby reject me, because that reinforces that something must be wrong with me, that I'm somehow defective. And this is all that they need to prove that narrative.
Right. And then the truth is, like, when you sit back with your logical mind and not your anxiety ridden, triggered mind.
Right.
When you sit back with your logical mind, if a person would do that, right? If a person would take something that I've divulged to them and leave me because of it, I'm actually better off.
I'm winning.
I don't need that person in my life. But that's not what my abandonment issues tells me. Like, every connection I make is so important, and I need to grab onto it tight and hold onto it forever.
Right. Right. Because we learned as adults that there were people who left us who probably did us a favor by leaving us, meaning that if we were children or if we were in a position where we could not do certain things for ourselves, that we needed the help of these people.
Right.
But if they were not in position to do what needed to be done,
right,
then they did us a favor by not being there.
Absolutely.
Trauma does not understand that.
At all.
All trauma knows is that you left me. I probably was okay without you, but I wanted you. So we take that feeling, that traumatic experience, into our adulthood, where our logic says, no, I'm good off of anybody who wouldn't be good for me anyway. But that trauma says, I still want you to want me. I still want you to be there. I still want you, even though I know in my logical adult brain that I'm better off.
Right.
So those things, because the trauma happened before the ability to rationalize came into play, those things are not, they can't differentiate. If you were 4, then you feel like you felt when you were 4. If you were 7, then you feel like you felt when you were 7, even though you may be 37, 47, 27. Mm. And now you're like, but I can, like, I know logically that it's okay that the man who used to punch me in the face left. But it's
that
still
wasn't funny. I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't. And it was just an example. Okay, babe, wouldn't be no podcast. Shantae would be in prison. So, but the 4-year-old says, "But he still left me, and I don't want to be left."
Right.
And so we ask ourselves, I'm sorry to cut you off, mm-hmm. why women stay, why people deal with certain things, but we never think about the trauma. We never think about certain rejection, abandonment, whatever it is. Sometimes those triggers are so painful, and an adult would rather not ever have to feel what that 4-year-old felt again.
Right.
Even if it means I'm gonna be hurt. Physically, emotionally, whatever.
Absolutely. And what's crazy is what you were talking about. I think I was like 17 when I made that same rationalization about my father. The person that probably is causing this abandonment issue trigger. Because he was, you know, he had his addiction issues. And I would have been so much worse off if I had been watching that every day. Right. And I understood that by about 17 years old. But that doesn't change the fact that watching someone walk away from me is the worst feeling in the world.
At all. Even when you understand the reason why they did it.
Right.
Like, you would think, this is how I thought that it worked. I thought once I was old enough to understand that addiction was a disease, mm-hmm. that it would do away with all of the feelings that I had. Mm-hmm. I really thought that my logic and my intellect could override... Just telling you the truth. I really thought that it could override my trauma and my triggers and all of my feelings. I'm like, but I know better.
You blew my mind the other day when you told me on the phone, you were like, triggers don't ever go away. I was like, excuse me, miss?
No, I thought that they did. They don't. Unfortunately. They do not.
So I just got to learn how to cope is what you're telling me.
Right.
Okay.
What has helped me is identifying what triggers me.
Right.
Like, this thing happened. Okay. And reparenting that inner child who's like, we're scared. Help. No. Somebody's going to leave us. Somebody's going to hurt us. In those moments, telling her, it's okay. I'm here. I'm going to protect you. Because in those moments back then, no one was there to do that. So when she feels triggered, as adults, we reparent her.
Right.
And calm her down. That is what. But those feelings of, oh my God, somebody's leaving me. It's because the trauma happened. And trauma stored in the body. It doesn't just. Yeah. So, unfortunately, for us traumatized folk, which is most of us, right? Because I think all of us, it may not be the same story, but there's something that happened to all of us that traumatized us. Somebody fell off the monkey bars and.
Right.
They ain't never getting on a roller coaster gear because they have a fear of heights. And we might look at it like, but it's still a fear that came from trauma.
Right. What's that line that none of us gets out of this unscathed?
Let me tell you, we ain't never, when none of us get, we all got something. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about boundaries and then we're going to get out of here. But I don't remember what we were saying. It was actually a perfect segue.
It was because asking for what you want.
Asking for what you want.
And
so I wanted to, and I still may do a complete part two to Invisible Lines in the Sand. And the reason why I called episode 2 Invisible Lines in the Sand, I feel like it was witty. It was. But anytime someone asks me, I explain. Is because sometimes the things that we consider to be boundaries only exist within us and we don't enforce them and we don't require other people to enforce them.
That's what I was about to say.
So they are literally just invisible lines in that sand. You know how you make the line and you're like, this is my side and that's your side and you don't come on my side and I won't go on your side. Well, if other people don't know that those are your boundaries, baby, those lines are invisible.
Right. Right. So that's the first one, right? That's the first part. But then for me, the issue was because I'm vocal. Like, I say what I want. But if I don't get what I want, it's wishy-washy on whether or not I take the next step. So boundaries are great, but you have to uphold them.
You have to. And you have to you have to enforce the consequences. And this is not to parent grown-ups, right? This is not to do, because with our children, it's a little easier. Listen, if you do this, this is this. School, everywhere you go, there's rules, regulations, and consequences. So we understand them kind of in the scope of life. If I get pulled over for not wearing my seatbelt, I'm going to get a ticket.
Right.
If I'm on my phone in the car, you know, like we understand that there's consequences for certain choices. But when it comes to boundaries, it has to be the same way, because that's the only thing that human beings respond to.
Right.
If they told you, listen, wear your seatbelt, but if you don't wear it, nothing's going to happen. Like nobody, the right. people who don't care about a seatbelt wouldn't wear their seatbelt. So when it comes to boundaries, it has to be, hey, I'm coming to your house today and I don't want to discuss X, Y, and Z. If you bring it up, I'm going to leave. Period. Because you have to understand what's going to happen if you make that choice, because I can't make the choice for you. You get to still make the choice. And the thing about boundaries that makes it scary for so many of us is that it sounds so mean. When you say, I'm not discussing that today. So if you bring it up, I'm going to get my things and I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to leave. Like, right. just so you understand from the get-go what's going to happen. And it's just like, damn, it's not that serious. Is it really that serious?
Yes, it is to me. So, exactly. But I think for me, and I completely 100% agree with everything you said, but for me, it's always been because of my abandonment issues, not having the balls to do what I said I would do if this boundary is broken.
Right. Because at the end of the day, ultimately, I really don't want to lose.
Right. And then also because I'm not used to protecting myself and taking care of myself and putting myself first. Mm. And so following through on the boundary isn't even about the other person mm-hmm. at the end of the day, because right. the boundary is there because I'm trying to protect myself. I'm letting you know what I want and need from this relationship. And you not doing it then requires me to pull myself out of it. And when you're not used to putting yourself first, when you're not used to taking care of yourself like you're supposed to,
you sacrifice
yourself. You sacrifice mm-hmm. yourself to stay in something that you already know, because you've laid it out. You said, this is what I want and need. And this person's not giving you what you want and need, and you not leaving.
No. So then you ultimately resent them.
Right.
You're mad at them because it's like, I told you that this doesn't work for me. You kept doing X, Y, and Z to me. And now I'm mad because I don't like this. But then we reinforce behaviors
right.
by what we accept, right?
Right. She's just going to get mad and yell at me and it'll really be fine. She ain't going nowhere.
Right. So I can continue to do whatever I want to do because there's no real consequence.
Right.
So again, like you said, it's twofold. It's learning, you know what? I'm my number one advocate. I have my back. And whether or not you're there or not, I'm going to be okay. And number two, I get to do what's best for me.
Yes.
I get to do what's best for me. And it doesn't make me mean. It doesn't make me selfish. Although selfish is one of those words that gets a negative connotation when it really doesn't have to. Because looking out for yourself is not a bad thing. People do it all of the time.
Right.
And the thing that strikes me the most is that the people who struggle the most with respecting people's boundaries have absolutely no problem with theirs. They'll tell you in a minute, we're not doing this. But then when you want to,
right.
it's like, ugh. You know, so the point that I'm trying to make is people do what's best for them. And as individuals, we get to do what's best for us. And when you listeners, learn that boundaries are healthy and that they're right, you teach other people that they get to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of your relationships become balanced and whole because you teach your ecosystem how to treat you. And then they go into their little worlds and they understand that boundaries are a real thing and people get to maintain them however they want to maintain them. And you get choices, right? If that works for you, then continue to rock with that person. If that doesn't, then step. But what you don't get to do is question someone else's. This is my life. This is what works for me.
Right.
If you can't be on time, we can't, like, certain things are non-negotiable for me. I'm okay with people not getting it because guess what? My boundaries aren't about you understanding. I don't have to do a dissertation for you to figure out, oh, this is why she wants it. It's my boundary. So that's a little bit. I think I'm going to do a whole nother episode because that is still to this day the top listened to episode. And I think so many of us really understand that. Okay, boundaries is something that I can, you know, for whatever reason, we were taught to self-sacrifice and to put other people first and to not ruffle feathers and to be seen and not heard and all of these different ideologies that cause us to struggle. Men, women, black, white, young, oh, we most of us do. Mm-hmm. Most of us have some, whether it's a job, friendship, family, whatever it is. So is there anything else that you want to say? Because I'm going to go ahead and wrap this show the fuck up.
I just want to say how proud I am of you, watching you in your element right now.
You
like,
ain't gonna make me cry, though. That's not what you're going to do.
I wasn't going for it, but like, it's just beautiful because, listeners, she talked about doing this for a while before she first stepped into the studio. She had the idea. She had the plans. And just watching somebody, like, I could not be prouder of my sister cousin right now.
Thank you so much. I still come in here and think to myself, girl, you doing all this talking and nobody cares. But I'm still here. I'm still pressing play. And it's because these listeners have been so, so faithful and supportive. And it just makes me feel like maybe I do have something to offer. So my humble heart.
No maybe about it.
My humble heart thanks you so much. I'm going to go ahead and get out of here, y'all. Again, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 16. Follow, don't, you know, be sure to follow me on Instagram. I am Shantae_ is my Instagram. You can follow the podcast page at tays.tidbits. The website is tastetidbits.com. Merch, episodes, everything found there. Thank you guys so much. And, you know, it's only right that we go out with this. If you know me, then you already know. So until next time, people, love someone, hug someone, kiss someone, be good to someone, apologize to someone, swallow your pride. Call that person that you did wrong and tell them you are sorry. Mend the relationship. Life is short. But most importantly, do no harm, but take no shit. I love you guys for real from the depths of my heart, and I will see you on the next episode.
What y'all wanna do? Wanna be ballers, shot callers, brawlers. Who be dipping in the bins with the spoilers? On the low from the Jake and the Taurus. Trying to get my hands on some grants like Horace. Yeah, living the raw deal. 3-course meal, spaghetti, fettuccine, and veal. But still, everything's real in the field. And what you can't have now, leave when you will. But don't knock me for trying to bury 7-0s over in Rio de Janeiro. Ain't nobody's hero, but I wanna be heard. On your hot 9-7 every day, that's my word. Swimming in women with their own condominiums. 5+5s who drive millenniums. It's all about the Benjamins. What? I get a 50-pound bag of oof for the mutts. 5 carats on my hands with the cuts. And something I European cloned out with the clutch. Being a broke nigga, drinking more.